When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Welcome to the program. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show. My name is Braden Gall. You can get to me on Twitter, at Braden Gall, 855-242-7285. We've got time for your calls. Before we get to the Big 12, Mike Gundy, all in his feelings, officiating, making stupid decisions, all these things, as well as the predicted order of finish in the Big 12. We'll get to all of that momentarily. However, the Open Championship, the 150th Open Championship from St. Andrews, Cameron Young, 8-under, earmuffs, if you've got it recorded and you're going to go watch it, earmuffs. Cam Young, 8-under, 64 today in first place. Rory McIlroy at 6-under. Shot a 66. Cam Smith, he shot a 67 at 5-under. Robert Dinwiddie up there at 5-under, shot a 67. And then there's a whole host of guys tied for fifth at 4-under, including a couple of amateurs. But you got Lee Westwood in there, Dustin Johnson, Scott Scheffler, who's on a tear, Ian Poulter in there all at 4-under as well. Bryson DeChambeau, by the way, at 3-under, a 69. Nice. Xander Schauffele in there at 3-under. Let's see here. Yep, that's about that. Other than that, Tiger Woods is the big name. Of course, 6-over, 78, 14 strokes back. He is 145th, I believe, out of 156 players. So Tiger Woods, it does not appear, will make the cut. But I guess barring a miracle tomorrow, he's going to have to play his he's going to have to play his out of his mind to make the cut tomorrow. So we'll keep an eye on what's going on over at St. Andrews over there across the pond. All right. So first of all, I was not trying to dictate to you guys what my music taste is. I'm just trying to tell y'all that if you like country, Southern Americana, rock and roll music, then you need to listen to Sturgill Simpson. You need to listen to Margo Price. You need to listen to Jason Isbell and Tyler Childers and Brent Cobb. You need to listen to these folks because I think you'll like them. That's all. I'm not trying to tell you one way or another about what to do with your life. I'm just telling you they're fantastic musicians and they're racking up Grammys, selling out the Ryman. I'm just telling you you should go check them out. That's all. I got people on Twitter yelling at me, dictating music taste. No, I'm just telling you what's good, what I think's good. Go check it out. Go listen to Sturgill Simpson and tell me you don't like Sturgill Simpson. That dude is a genius. Absolute genius. The Baylor Bears, first place in the media predictions. 17 first-place votes. Oklahoma, second in the Big 12, according to the media, with 12 first-place votes. Oklahoma State with 9 first-place votes. Texas at number 4 with 2 first-place votes. I'd like to know who those two people are. Kansas State at number 5, Iowa State with 1 first-place vote at number 6. That seems far-fetched considering all that they lost. TCU at number 7, West Virginia at number 8, Texas Tech at 9 with new coach Joey McGuire. And, of course, Kansas at number 10 after they beat Texas last year. I think Texas is interesting. I think they're going to be better. I think they're still just a solid team, 7-8 wins. That Kansas State team is really interesting with Adrian Martinez, Chris Klieman there. I think West Virginia is one to watch. They will get a lot of big games at home this year with a chance to pull some upsets. I like that West Virginia team with JT Daniels, Neil Brown, building a culture slowly but surely, a very good defensive team under Neil Brown since he left Troy to go up to Morgantown. They're building something good in Morgantown. I like that West Virginia team to over-exceed preseason expectations. Otherwise, it's the top three, and I think they're separate from everybody else. Baylor, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. Those are the three that I think are better than everybody else. Oklahoma State will be as good as Spencer Sanders is. If he is protecting the football and he is healthy and on the field, Oklahoma State will be very dangerous. They lost a lot on defense, including their defensive coordinator, who is now at Ohio State. Jim Knowles did a great job. Broyles guy there as an award finalist. One of the best coordinators in America. He's now at Ohio State. How good are they on defense? Oklahoma now with Brent Venables, Dylan Gabriel in charge of the offense. Are they going to be better on defense? Because Baylor right now has the returning quarterback, Blake Shapen, who stepped in when Jerry Bohannon got hurt, led them to a couple of wins at the end of the regular season into a Big 12 championship. They've got the defense. They've got the culture and the coaching staff. They've got the physicality and the identity that they have that very few teams in the Big 12 offer. It's got an SEC type of vibe, right? They want to play big physical football. I'm not saying they could be good in the SEC. That's not what I said. I'm just saying we're starting to break down the walls of what a Big 12 football team looks like. Oh, by the way, they're about to add BYU and Cincinnati, both of whom play big boy defensive football. So I just think that the evolution of the style of play in the Big 12 is really interesting to me, because I think teams are realizing they're going to have to be bigger and better along the defensive line if they want to get into a playoff game and have any prayer. The thing that separates Oklahoma from every team they've played in the playoff, defensive line. The teams that are recruiting the Southeast, Georgia, Clemson, Alabama, and even that Ohio State team in 2014, that Ohio State team was built on Southern players. Joey Bosa, Florida, Von Bell, Georgia. That team was built defensively, especially the defensive line, was built on Southern players. Oklahoma has not been able to recruit the same defensive linemen since basically what, Gerald McCoy in 2008? Like that was when they were good enough to almost beat Florida, but not quite. Otherwise, the offense was never the problem. It's always going to be the defense. Speaking of Oklahoma State, Mike Gundy pitching a fit yesterday a little bit. I mean, maybe I'm being a little overreactionary here, but basically saying, and I'm paraphrasing here, Mike Gundy, the head coach at Oklahoma State, basically just says, listen, the Bedlam series has a couple more years left, and then that'll be it, because somebody else made a decision to leave. And I don't understand why that has to be the way it ends. Honestly, I don't know why that has to be the way things are. I assume that Oklahoma would probably want to play the game. And if they want to play the game, why are you going to let your ego get in the way, Gundy, of playing the game? Because the only thing that could stop that from happening is Oklahoma State ego. This was the Texas A&M thing. It was all political and all ego. Well, you're going to go to the SEC. We don't want to play you. Well, you're in the Big 12. We don't want to play you. Like, it's all just ego. Iowa and Iowa State have never had this problem. And some of the SEC schools have great rivalries. Kentucky and Louisville, South Carolina, Clemson, Florida State, Georgia, Georgia Tech. These are great games, and they happen because people choose to make them happen. The powers that be could choose to make sure that Oklahoma and Oklahoma State continue the Bedlam series, which I believe has been played every year since 1910. That's 112 years in a row. Why would you break that up over what? Ego? Your feelings getting hurt because Oklahoma left for a better conference? I mean, I know that's a tough pill to swallow, but why cost the fans an opportunity at the most important game of their entire season? That one I don't understand. It sounds a lot like Mike Gundy's in his feelings a little bit. Not that that's ever happened before. Oh, Gundy, I love you, man. You're the gift that keeps on giving. Although I am now 40, so now I can say that I am too also a man. I turned 40 last week. Nathan in Tennessee. Nathan, welcome to the Paul Feinbaum Show. What's up, dude?
What's up? Hey, I guess I called it the right time because you were talking about my man Sturgill Simpson, and hey, I think he came straight out of Waylon Jennings. You cannot change my mind. You know, I love me some Sturgill Simpson. I also like guys like Charlie Crockett. I don't know if you listen to him.
Yeah.
But Charlie's got a new album dropping at the end of the first week of September. Definitely check it out.
Sturgill was a Western. He like lived on he worked on a railroad out west, much like Merle Haggard did. So he's got a lot of Merle in his game.
And Sturgill was in Baghdad too. I mean, I was working at Amazon, and I would literally be listening to that song. At least I ain't sitting in the middle of Baghdad in a tank. It made me feel a lot better about going to get bent over by Jeff Bezos every day. But I called because I was sitting here watching a YouTube video on my lunch break about UAB, like how their program, you know, came about and then disappeared and then is back again. LSU is one of the most slept-on teams in the SEC. I saw a poll, and I don't know if it was the coaches or what it was, but there are people that really think LSU will finish like 13th in the SEC. I've been an LSU fan for over a decade at this point. I don't see how the hell that happens. Kayshawn Boutte got his number 7 today. We've got a deep quarterback room. We've got a hell of a bunch of dudes in the trenches. I don't see what other people are looking at, you know, with LSU and think we're going to go 6-6. Like, it's LSU. We're not going 6-6. You know what I mean?
I tend to agree with you, Nathan. I appreciate it. And, yeah, that first Sturgill record is very different than all of the other ones. There's no question about that. I'm with you, man. I think LSU is better than people think. I think Brian Kelly alone is worth, like, the structure and organization that he brings as a professional adult head football coach. I just think that you cannot have that much talent and put it together with a pretty solid, well-established Hall of Fame-level coach and then just be bad. Like, I don't think that's going to happen. So, I don't see it either. Yeah, no, again, appreciate the call, Nathan. I want to say it's 6.5, right? I think the LSU total for Vegas is 6.5. I would take the over all day. I would hammer the over on that with your money. I just think they're, like, the quarterback situation is solid. There's a lot of options there. I think Jaden Daniels is the best player. I don't know if he's going to win the job. They've got star receivers, big-time playmakers. Again, Brian Kelly is an adult. He is a professional football coach. This is what Josh Heupel did to Tennessee. Tennessee needed a professional adult in charge. And Josh Heupel was that because the guy before was not. And that's clearly the case for LSU. So I think they get much better much quicker than people think. My question about LSU and Brian Kelly is, what is their ultimate upside? He's recruiting really well right now. 8 or 9 commitments in July, up into the top 10 class. Like, they're crushing on the recruiting trail right now. But my question for Brian Kelly and LSU is not about this year and getting good quickly. I think they will get good quickly. The question is, do they get to 9 or 10 wins pretty fast, maybe 1 or 2 years? And then after, can they take that next step? That's my question. Like, he showed us he could win 10, 11 games at Notre Dame, but he couldn't beat the teams with the best players, Alabama, Clemson. Like, he couldn't beat those teams in championship situations. Now you're going to have to do that just to win your division. And so the question is, can he out-recruit Jimbo Fisher, Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, and get those level of players the way we know you can get at LSU? I think they're going to be good real fast and then plateau, and then we're going to find out about Brian Kelly. That's to me, that's 2-3 years down the road, if I had to guess. Sitting in the middle of a hot damn desert, sitting in a tank. My name is Braden Gall, filling in for Paul. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, 855-242-7285. We'll talk some Big 12 football next right here on ESPN Radio.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
So there's one other thing that happened at Big 12 Media Days that I think we need to address. And I might have gone on a bit of a rant about this. Braden Gall in for Paul Feinbaum, Paul Feinbaum Show, ESPN Radio, 855-242-7285. Got phone calls here the rest of the way if you want to chime in, 855-242-7285. Tell me how awful my college football takes are, how awesome my music taste is, because I just have great music taste. I'm just going to tell you. That's just the way it is. Fitzy, by the way, used to be my co-host here locally. He'll back me up on this. So here's something that I saw today at Big 12 Media Day that it just drives me nuts. Drives me absolutely bonkers. So they had to talk about the horns down thing again today with the Big 12 head of officiating. Basically, the head of officiating in the Big 12 is apologizing to everybody because he's like, look, guys, I'm so sorry. I know I'm going to get a bunch of emails from Oklahoma people. I'm so sorry. But you cannot throw horns down during a football game. You can't throw it at a player. You can't do it after a touchdown. You just can't throw horns down. It is, I don't know what it is. Disrespectful, taunting, I guess. I don't know. I'm just not sure what is it then, if that is the case. Now, listen, I am not talking about throwing birds at people, right? If somebody's going to run down the field and throw up some birds at some students or some fans, like, I'm okay with throwing a penalty on that. That ain't cool. But isn't every single hand gesture every player does in celebration also technically taunting? Like, you know what I mean? Like, if I score a touchdown and I'm a Florida Gator and I do a chomp, isn't that taunting? If I'm a Florida State player and I score a touchdown and I start running down the field tomahawk chopping, isn't that taunting? Like, in this sense of the word, like, I disagree. I think none of it should be taunting. It's all called sports, and it's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be a game. We're supposed to have fun. So, I don't know. To me, I get it why the official head of officials had to talk about it at Big 12 Media Days, but I just think it's ridiculous. Sucking the fun out of the game is what it is. CBS Sports reporter covering the Big 12, and I will ahead of time apologize because I've talked to this guy. I've talked to you many times on Twitter, and I've never said your name out loud, so I'm going to try to get it right. Shahan Jeyaraja, did I get that right? Shahan, are you there?
Yes. Now I think you got me. Yeah, you nailed it.
I got it right? All right. Thanks
you
for joining
it.
Us. Thanks for joining us. That's all I needed. I appreciate it, buddy. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me.
You can check him out on Twitter, of course. Shahan Jeyaraja, CBS Sports, at the Big 12 media event. Just your personal opinion on the horns down thing. I know it's never going to change and they are what they are, but like, are we not taking some of the fun out of the game by not allowing players to just sort of do what they want to do with hand gestures on the field?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the excitement of college football, right, is just getting to enjoy some of these things. It's getting to hate your rival. It's getting to, you know, to talk crap. And, like, I mean, look, in the state of Texas, where I'm from, the University of Texas is the standard. And I think the idea of people being able to kind of express themselves and do that sort of thing, I think it's just fun, right? It's harmless. It doesn't – I don't think it really demeans much of anybody. I think it's more of a compliment to the standard that Texas has set historically. So I think it's silly, but unfortunately I don't make the rule.
Well, I wish you did, man. Let's go back to Brett Yormark's opening remarks. The first time commissioner of the Big 12, of course. He comes from a big business MBA background. What did you make of how he delivered his prepared statements? We know the substance of the message, which is we're open for business. We're going to do the best thing we can for the Big 12 in terms of negotiating a new television contract. What did you make about how he handled the entire event? Are you impressed with the leadership skills? Do you have questions? What did you make of his performance?
Yeah, I was pretty impressed, and especially after talking to some other people around the periphery. I mean, they seemed very impressed with what Brett Yormark was able to do. You know, I mean, certainly, you know, like any opening statement, there were some buzzwords, right? Young and hip is probably not something that's going to stick around for a long time. But I think that ultimately what he brings to the table is somebody who comes from the outside world, somebody who understands how to generate revenue in a pro sports sense, somebody who understands how to maximize brand value. You know, he was the guy who was in charge of the Nets moving to Brooklyn and having to rebrand themselves as Brooklyn's team. And so obviously a college conference is a little bit different than that. It's going to be a different challenge, but I think that he has a good understanding of some of the off-field stuff that certainly, I mean, look, I'm on the SEC network, that the SEC has done exceptionally well over the years that I think that the Big 12 has struggled doing. And I think that some of those off-field considerations are going to play a big part in being able to recoup some brand value.
Shahan Jeyaraja joining us here from CBS Sports covering the Big 12. And I guess, do you get a sense – I would like to talk about actual football in a second, but do you get a sense – about where their actions may lie, like where their focus is? Is it, you know, he used the phrase define point of difference. What does that mean?
I think that more than anything else, they want to, again, I go back to that word brand, and brand is obviously kind of a giant buzzword in some ways, but you know, I go back to the SEC, right? The SEC, I think, has done a tremendous job of establishing a brand. You know, it just means more culture. It's the sort of, you know, this is the best, this is the biggest, all that sort of stuff. And I think that with the Big 12, you know, at this point, you can't sort of make the same sort of argument about them being the best and the biggest and most powerful conference. But what I do think that you can do is trying to find ways to brand yourself as an institution, right? You can brand yourself as, you know, in some ways, your ties to Texas, right? I mean, there are going to be four schools in the state of Texas in the conference. I think that he used those words about trying to get younger and a little bit more sleek. And I think that some of that is going to be in terms of presentation. I think that some of that's going to be in terms of marketing, things like that. And look, some of this is up in the air, right? A lot of failed business leaders over the course of history have gone in this kind of way. But with his background in New York, with his background with the Brooklyn Nets, with his background working for Jay-Z for Roc Nation, I mean, he is somebody who has been around these sorts of conversations before. And so it'll be interesting to see what kind of plan he has to create that kind of brand value for the league.
You know, it's funny you mentioned, that was my first thought was, could you control Texas after the big brands that are in the SEC, which is obviously A&M, Texas, and Oklahoma? If you've got the four that you've got, you've still got SMU, you've got UTSA coming off the best season they've had in a long time. UTEP is a pretty decent program when they're good. Like, is there a thought that you could kind of make yourself a heartland conference where people are still crazy for football, unlike maybe the West Coast?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, you know, one thing that we heard from a couple of coaches today, especially, is that what sets this conference apart is that you go to basically every market in the conference and people are football crazy, right? I mean, certainly Kansas would be the one exception, but at West Virginia, you know, in the state of Florida where UCF is coming in Ohio where Cincinnati's coming in, you've got some really, really motivated, dedicated football fans. And so, look, I mean, the fan bases aren't quite the size of some of the biggest ones in college football, but I do think that you can sell being a motivated product. I think you can sell, obviously, the quality of football that's being played. I think the group of coaches in the conference right now is in a really good place. And so I do think that that's going to be a central part of their message is, hey, look, you know, if you love football, here are places that love football that you should consider going. And especially when you're comparing it to the ACC and the Pac-12, especially, which, look, again, there's going to be a Big Two, there's going to be the SEC and the Big Ten. You know, when you're trying to position yourself as that third conference, I think that having a lot of interest from people across the country in your product is only a good thing.
Shahan Jeyaraja joining us here from CBS Sports covering the Big 12. Now, I am actually fascinated by, and I think this is going to happen even after Texas and Oklahoma leave, which is that 1 through, let's say, 11, although I'm a big believer in Lance Leipold in Kansas, this is an extremely balanced league, and it's really not that different this year. How much arguing did you guys do over your ballots in terms of who you picked to actually win the thing? I know 6 different teams got a first-place vote today.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge, right? I think that this is going to be one of the most competitive conferences in the country. Baylor is picked number 1 in the preseason poll after winning last year. But, you know, from my perspective, there were 5 teams that I very seriously considered in my number 1 spot. And I think that on top of that, you do look at sort of that, even that quote unquote bottom tier of teams. Texas Tech went 7-6 and won a bowl game last year. I think West Virginia, they bring in a former 5-star quarterback in JT Daniels. You know, I even look at Kansas, right? Kansas, over their last 3 games, played really 3 competitive games against West Virginia, TCU, and, of course, against Texas. So I think that this is going to be a really tough league this year. You even look, I mean, Texas Tech plays also Houston and North Carolina State in the non-conference. West Virginia plays Virginia Tech and Pitt. So I think this is going to be a highly competitive league, and some feelings are definitely going to get hurt as close games are decided.
Is there anything to keep Oklahoma and Oklahoma State from keeping the Bedlam series alive even after Oklahoma leaves? Is it just ego and hurt feelings that Mike Gundy is expressing?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of hurt feelings, especially at Oklahoma State, you know, because I think that they feel in some ways that they're being abandoned by Oklahoma. You know, I mean, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State have been in the same conference since 1960. They've played this game since 1910. And I think that in some ways, feeling like Oklahoma left them for dead in some ways in this sort of unraveling Big 12 and didn't try harder to either get them into the SEC or put them in a good position, I think that really makes them, it's one thing to have sports hatred. I think it's another thing to have sort of frustration at being left behind in some ways. So I definitely think that Oklahoma State might take a little longer to make that rivalry come back on the football field. At least I expect in other sports it'll come back much sooner. And I think that Mike Gundy's going to be a big part of that. You know, he said at Media Days, basically, Bedlam, as it is dead after Oklahoma leaves because it won't be a conference game and because we won't be guaranteed to play it every year. I expect at some point it'll come back. I think that it's too important to the state not to do it. You know, we got to talk to Matt Campbell at Iowa State about this, and he really talked up the idea of how Iowa versus Iowa State is a huge game that matters to a lot of people and is just such a great thing for the state of Iowa. I think eventually we'll reach that point with Bedlam, but I think it's going to take a little longer because I think Mike Gundy's going to be a pretty loud voice in the room.
Oh, Mike Gundy, never overreacting with his feelings and emotions. It's never happened. It's never happened, Shehan. Thank you so much, man. We appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Shehan Jeyaraja from CBS Sports. Good stuff there. Good follow on the Twitter machine as well. The Iowa State thing is the obvious. You point to it and go, look, it happens all the time. Happens every year. They play it every year. It's incredibly important to the state. People love it. It's important. Make it happen. Mike Gundy's feelings right now, it looks like and sounds like, are going to get in the way of that. I guess it's his prerogative. If he wants to hurt his fan base, take away the most important game of the year. My name is Braden Gall, 855-242-7285. Your calls are next. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
855-242-7285. Braden Gall in for Paul. Earmuffs if you don't want to hear what happened at the Open Championship today. Spoiler alert, Tiger Woods 6 over 78 in the first round. He is tied for 146th. He's going to have to do something real special tomorrow to make it to the weekend of the Open Championship. Big 12 Media Days predicted order of finish. Baylor Bears predicted for the first time in history to be the champions of the Big 12. 17 first place votes. So we head out to Oklahoma, of course. The phone lines are open the rest of the way. Mike in Oklahoma. Mike, welcome to the show, sir. How are you?
Yes, I'm fine. Thank you very much for taking my call today. I appreciate your filling in for Paul, and you guys are all doing a great job.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, Mike.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm calling today about the horns down that you've brought up numerous times today on the show, and it, to me, I am a Sooner fan, but it's the most ridiculous thing that I've ever seen. And
you would prefer they do not do it, is what you're saying?
No, I would prefer that anyone can do what they want as long as it's, like you said, not throwing the bird at someone. Something that Texas has a lot of pride. They have, and for good reason, it's a heck of a state. But they have an old saying there called "Don't mess with Texas," and they truly believe that. And so they don't like anyone to infringe on anything of their rights. And to the point also that years ago, people used to produce hats and shirts with the upside down Longhorn emblem on it. and they got that stopped as well.
I don't even know how you do that. Like, thank you, Mike, for the phone call, and I appreciate the kind words. How do you get a clothing? How do you get clothing companies to not make a shirt? Like, I don't know how a university can do that. Texas, yeah, that's right. They're all about the rights. Well, maybe not all of them. I think the horn. Like, if a Texas Longhorn player scores a touchdown and throws Hookem up in the air, which we all think is totally fine, right? It's not against the rules. It's not a penalty. We all think it's great. How is that not taunting the defensive player? I mean, if we're going to use this silly, ridiculous way of defining a taunting penalty, is if I turn my hand one direction, down versus up, but, like, I can't do it down, but you can do it up? Like, I don't understand. I don't understand. Again, Florida Gators players score touchdowns and do the Gator chomp. How is that not taunting by this definition? And again, my argument is it should all be allowed. I'm with Mike on this. It's ridiculous that we stop kids from having fun. You're telling me that just because you can't hear it, that there's not trash talk going on, that people don't say absurdly ridiculous and probably very offensive things to each other on a football field? Of course they do. You know, if I scored a touchdown at Ole Miss, I'd be running past defensive players yelling hottie totty the whole way back to the bench. So to me it's ridiculous. It's sucking the fun out of everything. And I know every Big 12 team and a lot of SEC teams, like, they have a lot of hand gestures, right? Like, everybody's got, like, you got Sic'em, you got Gig'em, which is A&M, and you got, you know, the guns up, right, by Texas Tech. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing trying to legislate this crap? It's ridiculous. Let kids have fun. Greg in Mississippi. Greg, welcome to the Paul Feinbaum Show. How are you?
Hey, I appreciate you, Braden. I've always been a longtime fan, going back to your Athlon days. I guess I'm a gallbladder fan, I can say it.
thank you.
A couple of questions for you, man. If you were taking a shot at a future on a team, kind of like Michigan last year who made the playoff, though I didn't think a lot of people saw that coming with the pressure Harbaugh was under, who would you look for this year? You know, you have your favorites like Bama, Georgia, Ohio State, but is there somebody – maybe a Wisconsin or somebody, maybe a Big Ten, maybe USC, who you think could get there? And then my other question, did they say anything about the fans being allowed, I guess, in the hotels there at the media days in Atlanta? I've been to that Omni. I've seen that. It looks like that the Hall of Fame is closed those days of the media days, so I just wanted to know if you had heard anything. You're doing a good job, man. Enjoy you on the tailgate. I hope you're on the tailgate show again Saturday this
year. Yes, thank you, Greg.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, man, I appreciate the call. Thank you, Greg. I was there at the event last time it was in Atlanta, and I don't believe it was open, the College Football Hall of Fame, so I don't know. I would hope that they allow some places to be open. Now, I think they had, I want to say, like Bernsey and Chris Doering were doing their show from in there, maybe? Like, I can't remember exactly, but I think we could – I don't think it's open, but, God, I hope it is for fans. It's a beautiful building. Like, it's an awesome place to go. Now – how deep do you want me to go on who I think a playoff contender is? If you're trying to make some money and you're trying to find some value and make a value play on who you think is going to make the playoff, I would do a couple of different things to eliminate some teams and then sort of make your choice. To me, if you are in the Pac-12, the Big 12, or the ACC, I think you've got a chance and a path to the playoff, number one. If you're in the Big 10 or the SEC, I think your path is much more difficult and you have to be far more perfect. If you're A&M, Michigan, you know, if any of those second-place teams, Tennessee, Kentucky, you know, Wisconsin, Iowa, Purdue, like if you're any of those teams, which are all good teams, you still have to get through Bama, Georgia, Ohio State, and I don't know if that's possible. So I would look at the Big 12, the Pac-12, and the ACC. And if you don't want to play the favorite, which in the ACC is Clemson, I think playing a Big 12 team is smart. I like Baylor. I like Oklahoma. The long shot I really like would probably be Miami. They've got a path to win their division. They could get to the conference championship game. They play a big non-conference game with A&M that if they win becomes a giant resume builder, and they've got a star quarterback in Tyler Van Dyke. To me, it's sort of a formula. Utah is a great play, in my opinion. Returning star quarterback, best offensive line, one of the best defenses in America. They play a road game against Florida that they probably should win, even if it's a close point spread. And that gives them an opportunity that if they slip up one time in conference play, Utah can get into the playoff as a one-loss champion. Oregon is a good play, in my opinion. I like Oregon as a good, as a smart long shot to make the playoff. If they get good quarterback play, that's the bigger question there. That's kind of why I like Miami and Utah. I have bigger questions about the Miami team around Tyler Van Dyke than I do anything else. They also play a pretty tough schedule inside the ACC. I think Notre Dame's schedule's too hard. I think Michigan's schedule sets up nicely, but they have to play at Ohio State. I wouldn't touch USC. I wouldn't touch them. I think USC is defensively, they've got way too many questions on that side of the ball for me, for my taste. Oklahoma State's not a bad play. I could put a few shekels down on Oklahoma State. You know, it was a long shot that could be real interesting. Houston could be undefeated and playing Cincinnati in the conference championship game. That would be tricky. That would be interesting. The Houston Cougars. You could throw a few bucks down on the Cougs. We'll take your calls here and wrap things up. 855-242-7285. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right here. Braden Gall, Paul Feinbaum Show, ESPN Radio.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
Braden Gall, Paul Feinbaum Show. It's been great hanging out with you guys, man, really, honestly. It is a true joy to do this show for Paul when he's not around. I am honored every single time I get to do it, to get to hang out with you guys and talk college ball. That is my stuff right there, man. That is my stuff. 855-242-7285. All right, let's get a couple calls in here quickly. Michael in Iowa. Michael, what's up, man?
Not much. I got kind of three things. Texas, they can go to the SEC and they'll get stomped. It doesn't matter. Second, you're saying that the Big 12 has a chance to make it into the college playoff. The Big 12 up and down is a tough, tough conference. Anybody could come in and knock out Oklahoma and and they could knock them off undefeated. Texas, Baylor, and then a sleeper in the Big 12 could be Iowa State.
Okay.
They've got the quarterback. They've got the good receivers. They've got a good running back room. The offensive line has experience. The defense, you know how that defense plays every year. They're hard.
Yep.
They are one of the top defenses year in, year out. I'm going to hang up and I'm going to listen to what you guys have to say.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. I agree with you completely that it is an incredibly difficult lead to predict week in and week out. I think the fact that they're going to beat each other up is absolutely a reason why they won't make the playoff potentially. I think Iowa State's defense is super salty. I do think they found the replacement for Brock Purdy. I think they've got a better quarterback situation. Like, you lose the greatest quarterback in the history of your program. That includes Seneca Wallace, by the way. You lose Brock Purdy, and Hunter Deckers is supposedly the real deal. But they've lost so much. Breece Hall and Charlie Kohler, and like, they've lost so much. I do like Iowa State. I think they're very good. I don't think they're championship good, though. Alex in Michigan. What's up, Alex? How are you?
What's up, man? How are you?
Doing well, dude.
Good. Hey, I'm just calling about can you guys give me the headlines on some football stuff, like from U of M to Michigan State?
Some lines? Like, you mean like the point spread?
Yeah, I want to know what they did to go. What if we were to talk, like, I'm trying to think of some Michigan State stuff that I know.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it, Alex. We've only got like 30 seconds left here. I think what's interesting about Michigan State is the transfer portal and the job Mel Tucker's done building his roster. You got to replace Kenneth Walker. Peyton Thorne is there. It's a good team. I don't know if they can replicate last year if I'm a Michigan State fan. I'd be concerned. I don't think Michigan's going to replicate last year, but I think they're both very good. It's going to be a heck of a game between the two of them. That's for sure. That is for sure. Honor to be with you guys this week. Thank you guys so much for hanging out. My name is Braden Gall. Get to me on Twitter @BradenGall. This has been the Paul Feinbaum Show here on ESPN Radio.